Morning News, here's the latest. California has scored another first by becoming the first state to ban assault weapons. House Speaker Jim Wright may step down as part of a deal in his investigations. And in sports, the A's stay on top while the Giants lose a close one. I'm Peter Dudley. I'll be back with these and more in a moment. Governor Duke Majan yesterday made it official. California will be the first state in the union to ban military-style assault rifles. KALX's Tony Denzer filed this report.
The two bills signed by the Republican governor virtually banned the sale of more than 50 specified semi-automatic assault rifles, pistols, and shotguns, and sharply restrict their possession. Duke Majan said during the signing ceremonies that law enforcement officials need all the help we can give.
These measures, along with the others that we are seeking, will help our brave and courageous law enforcement community in fighting violent crime and saving innocent lives.
Duke Majan's action culminates in an emotional struggle launched after Patrick Purdy fired a semi-automatic AK-47 on a Stockton schoolyard more than 4 years ago, killing 5 children, wounding 29 others, and a teacher. Pro-gun groups say thousands of gun owners in California have called or written to Duke Majan, but their messages have been ignored. The groups are planning to join forces and support a recall. But even some conservatives jumped ship to support the ban, like Republican Assemblymember Bill Filanti.
I was also very pleased to see that both the authors of the bills and the governor echoed the sentiments that I have expressed. That is, this ban, a limited ban, is a first step in our fight against crime, violence, and loss of life.
The bills will go into effect January 1st. This is Anthony Denzer, KALX News.
Last Friday night, a surprise riot strained the manpower of the Berkeley police. This Friday, police say they'll be ready in force to prevent history from repeating itself. Last Friday's riot caused damage to stores and buildings, unofficially estimated at $200,000. The rioting mob grew to about 2,000 people, causing police and firefighters to retreat. Originally, a People's Park anniversary was reportedly the chief factor behind the eruption. But now local citizens are claiming that most looting and vandalism was done by students and out-of-town teenagers. The Berkeley Chamber of Commerce says the city council is to blame for the riot. The chamber blamed what it calls the council's confrontational attitude toward the expansion plans of UC for triggering the violence. At a time when most AIDS research and support groups want more money and more staff, San Francisco's Shanty Project is streamlining its operation. The project announced cutbacks in personnel yesterday, and spokesperson Holly Smith says tight money is the reason.
We're looking at having a harder time earning new monies in the future. So our tact is to reduce what our obligations are, increase the amount of volunteers that we're using so that the service is not interrupted.
A total of 10 middle-level administrative jobs will be eliminated. Smith says this translates into salary savings of about $100,000, which will go towards expanded fundraising efforts. The cutbacks are effective July 1st. The Shanty Project, renowned nationally for its work with AIDS patients, currently serves over 1,000 clients. The Admissions and Enrollment Committee of the Berkeley Academic Senate has issued a report proposing changes in admission policies. The changes take effect in fall of 1991. One focus of the report is that the rise in applications to UC Berkeley should enable the university to attract an academically stronger and socially diverse student body. One significant change proposed by the committee is to give special consideration to socioeconomically disadvantaged students. This category would include students of all races. Another secondary review category would target re-entry students, especially women. Well, there is a possibility that BART will be able to run a 24-hour service in the near future. And that if that is the case, many people who need to get to places at odd times will benefit. KALX reporter Tilly Chow filed this report.
The present BART schedule goes from 6 to 12, but pretty soon there may be a change. Earlier speculation of the plan from BART directors showed the night service would not pay off the cost. Joe Fitzpatrick is one of the directors for BART. He says direction to run an all-night service will not be confirmed until there's a definite support from BART riders.
What do we have to do? Well, as of now, you know, the writer doesn't pay for the system completely. It's the system is paid for by the BART writer like about 50 cents on the dollar. The other 50 cents is paid through sales tax. So, but to run it at night, we would literally, on opening all the stations and every half hour, you would literally would have to charge $10 a person. And for night service, I mean, you could drive your car cheaper than that.
So far, the directors are looking at the possibility of keeping few major stations open after 12 at night. With that possibility, each train will run every 40 minutes or so. Tilly Chow, KALX News.
Stanford University President Donald Kennedy refused yesterday to consider amnesty for a group of student activists who barricaded themselves inside his office. Last week's demonstration was called to increase minority rights and representation on campus. Public school teachers in Los Angeles have tentatively agreed to end the strike that's crippled the nation's second-largest school district for 11 days. School Board President Roberta Weintraub says negotiators for the teachers today agreed to a 24% raise over 3 years. Teachers' union members are expected to vote on the tentative contract as early as today. Coming up, Soviet democracy seems healthy, but China's is having some troubles. Stay with us. House Speaker Jim Wright is refusing to say that his 35-year career in lawmaking may be nearing an end, but the indications from Capitol Hill are pointing in that direction. New Mexico Democrat Bill Richardson says negotiations are underway. Sources say in those negotiations, Wright's lawyers are proposing that the Texas Democrat resign as Speaker if the Ethics Committee agrees to drop some of the charges, including the allegation Wright accepted improper gratuities from a developer. Richardson says he expects an arrangement within a day or two. There are rumors that Wright might announce his resignation effective next Wednesday. If Wright steps down, the current majority leader, Tom Foley, is considered a virtual shoo-in for the position. Foley's post could then be filled by Majority Whip California's Tony Coelho. However, now Coelho is having ethics troubles of his own. The Justice Department reportedly is conducting a preliminary criminal investigation of his financial dealings with the junk bond investment firm Drexel Burnham Lambert. The Air Force is batting 0-for-4 in its bid to get a navigation satellite into orbit. It was supposed to go into space last night aboard a Delta II, but a computer sensed a failed valve and stopped the main engine from igniting. Before last night, the launch was scrubbed 3 other times because of unfavorable weather over Cape Canaveral, Florida. Navy investigators are reportedly looking into the possibility that homicide played a role in the explosion aboard the battleship USS Iowa. NBC says investigators have found evidence in the home of a surviving crew member that lends support to the theory of foul play. Investigators so far have found no proof that an accident caused the April 19th blast that killed 47 sailors. On the eve of President Bush's departure to Europe and next week's NATO summit, efforts to heal a rift in the alliance continue. Bush has sent West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl a new letter concerning their split over whether to negotiate reductions in Europe-based short-range missiles or upgrade the weapons, as Bush wants. And while Bush voices skepticism over Moscow's latest weapons reduction offer, some in his administration say there are good signs in the proposal to reduce conventional arms. National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft says the latest Moscow offer has, quote, more meat on it, end quote. Meanwhile, Soviet human rights activist Andrei Sakharov was among the first to address today's inaugural gathering of the first Soviet Assembly elected in competitive elections. The session featured a spirited debate over the Congress's powers and a fight over the official agenda, which calls for Mikhail Gorbachev to be reelected as president and then to talk about his record in office. Reformers wanted Gorbachev to defend his record before the election, but they failed to change the agenda. And while Soviet democracy seems to be blooming, the pro-democracy movement in Beijing no longer belongs to the students. So says one machine factory worker who joined more than 100,000 other workers and intellectuals who marched today to demand the ouster of Premier Li Peng. Li's attempt to crush the movement has met with widespread resistance and intensified strife within China's leadership. In South Africa, a white ex-policeman who acknowledged that he smiled as he shot seven blacks and an Indian man has been sentenced to hang for his crime. Baron Stridham testified the killings were the start of a race war on behalf of whites threatened by South Africa's black majority. His lawyers had argued that Stridham's actions were prompted in part by racist ideology he learned from his father. Now the quick look at sports. In the majors last night, Mike Moore raised his record to 5-3 while lowering his ERA to 1.6. He allowed only five hits in leading the A's to a 6-2 win over Milwaukee. With the win, Oakland maintained its half-game lead over the Angels, who beat the Yankees 11-4. Other scores in the American League, the Red Sox beat the Seattle Mariners 6-5. The Indians lost in 10 innings to Detroit 2-1. The Twins beat the Blue Jays 10-4. Baltimore Orioles shut out the White Sox 8-0. And Kansas City downed the Rangers 6-4. The Giants gave up a shutout to the Expos. Montreal's Kevin Gross threw a five-hitter. The Expos got their only run in the first. Elsewhere in the National League, the Reds beat the Cardinals 5-1. In 14 innings, it was the Pirates over the Braves 4-1. Cubs down the Astros 3-1. Philadelphia lost to the Dodgers 4-2. And San Diego was shut out by the Mets 3-0. In hockey, Calgary could take the Stanley Cup from Montreal tonight in Montreal. Nobody's won that cup on Montreal ice. The Flames lead the series 3-2. In the NBA, no games tonight, but the finals continue tomorrow with the Lakers in Phoenix and Saturday with the Pistons visiting Chicago. And Joe Montana says his knee surgery was minor and he'll be ready for training camp in July. His surgery was May 11th, and Montana was on the practice field at minicamp but did not work out. In college, in softball, Cal Poly Pomona blanked Oregon 1-0, and UCLA shut out South Carolina 3-0 at Sunnyvale in the first round of the NCAA Division I Women's Softball Championships. The winners will meet while Oregon plays South Carolina in the loser's bracket of the double elimination tournament. Now with weather, today will be sunny except for the usual early low clouds and coastal fog. Highs will be in the 60s and 70s. Tonight should be fair and cooler with temperatures in the 40s and 50s. Tomorrow will be more of the same with patchy morning coastal fog clearing off. It should be warmer, though, with some temperatures approaching 80. Well, the comedy industry plans to pay a special tribute to Vice President Dan Quayle during its convention next month in Las Vegas. Quayle will be given the, quote, first annual Comics Best Friend Award. Convention's organizers say the vice president has made invaluable contributions to thousands of stand-up comedy routines all over the country. Well, that wraps up this morning's news. Tune in every weekday at 8 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for all your news, weather, and sports. For the entire KALX News team, I'm Peter Dudley.